Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
And I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 448, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 30, Team Carnival.
It aired September 21st, 2002, written by Catherine Torpy, directed by Koichi Sakamoto. Catherine Torpy is like on a tear right now. Not in the sense she's like she's doing a lot of good episodes, but like because the last two weren't great. But she wrote the next like five. She basically writes everyone until Forever Red, so fair that some of them are stinkers.
Are we that close to Forever Red?
Yeah, there's three more. Three to go.
Oh, boy. I don't know if I'm ready to talk about that.
And then and Amit Bhamik wrote Forever Red, too, so that one probably should be good. Joining us today to talk about Team Carnival, returning guest, Claire Mulcairn. Welcome back.
Hello, hello. How's it going, guys?
Pretty good. Thanks for getting up at the butt crack of dawn to record a podcast with us.
This is the small of dawn's back.
I don't know how you guys are funny this early. I've recorded a lot of podcasts before, but podcasting is an evening activity. It is not. Comedy does not flow early in the morning. I don't think. But
no, it's
tricky. Do you go to see a comedy show first thing in the morning, like right when you wake up out of bed? No, it's the middle of the night. It's how it's supposed to be done.
No, I just watched the funniest video there is. How I get ready is I watch the funniest video, which is just 2 seconds of Mickey going wow, and then that's how I get in. That's how I get ready.
You can't give away these secrets.
I know.
Everyone's going to be replicating the magic of the Morphin Grid now, just by like.
You'll be able to tell. They'll be cheap knockoffs.
It'll be an imitation. No one can be this stupid this early. So Claire, you've been on the show before.
Yes.
So we already got your history with Power Rangers. Any recent Power Rangers developments in your life?
Kind of, yeah, actually. So I didn't mention it on mic last time, but off mic I mentioned that one of my white whale projects I've been working on for a while, because I do like RPG design, is I've always wanted to make a Sentai RPG. There's a few out there that have had their own takes, taken it in slightly different ways. But I've not really seen one that's done some of the things that I'd want to do with it. So I've been working on that, and it's come a lot further since the last time I was on. I've actually run a lot of playtests of it and stuff at, we have a local tabletop RPG convention here in town called RinCon. And I got to run three sessions of it, and they were stupid, and they were great, and I loved them.
The secret sauce is you got to be stupid if you're doing Power Rangers stuff.
Yes, yeah, yeah. One of the games that we ran... So basically the way it works, there's like a big list of gimmicks and you can like mix and match them and you get very stupid things when you do that, as you might imagine. We had a group of former acrobats who became thieves using their acrobat skills, like cat burglars. And one time they stole a bunch of artifacts from an ancient Egypt museum, and now they have the powers of the Egyptian gods. And then their nemesis was a Nazi who used ancient dark Nazi magic to extend his lifespan and survive to the modern era. He was also seeking these artifacts, and when he couldn't get them, he sought their enemies, which were a group of clowns that were competing with them for gigs all the time because they were acrobats, who were also and these clowns were also secretly white supremacists, and he endowed them with the powers of the Norse gods. So it was a ancient Egyptian animal acrobats versus a Nazi clown cult.
A classic matchup.
Yeah, so, like, that's the sort of things that the system has been producing thus far.
Nice. That sounds great.
That high quality stuff. So yeah, I've been really enjoying it, and we'll see what comes of it next, but I will keep you updated.
Heck yeah. I would love to do some promotion on that, because it sounds great.
Yeah, it's super dumb, and I love it.
Yeah.
Just rad. Like Power Rangers.
Just like Power Rangers. It's very dumb, but we love it.
Do you love it?
Yes. Yeah. like the overall like theory.
First of all, how dare you come on our show?
at 9 a.m.
I come into your house.
Coming to our house.
You eat our cookies.
Oh, I got to buy a copy of that so I can watch it on Thanksgiving, since you're not going to be here.
Oh, now that I'm gone, you'll watch it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Look, I watched it all the other times except last year when you forgot it. All right? Don't make it my fault. Anyway, we're going to go watch Team Carnival right now.
All right, now listen here, you motherfuckers. What's up with wild time nonsense? Why are you afraid to say? Why are you afraid to say wild access? You're afraid to fully embrace wild force with your heart.
Wild access sucks.
It's bad. Number one's bad. Number two is the first episode we didn't know what the morph call was.
Yeah.
So we just said wild time, and then we're like, oh, it's wild access. We're gonna stick with wild time.
Uh huh. Uh-huh. So, I think this is just further evidence that you guys don't truly love Power Rangers. You're not willing to accept it as it is.
This is it. This is
You have to keep Wild Force at arm's length, and you're never gonna fully love it until you can say wild access.
Do you wanna try it? Do you wanna give it a try?
Here, you can say wild time and I'm gonna say wild access.
I'll do wild access. Look, I'll play you by your rules. You're a guest. Okay. In this house, I can pretend that I'm polite.
This will be even for you making me wake up this early.
I know that's fair. All right,
wild access. Doesn't that feel better?
No, it doesn't. It feels bad. And we're back, and we just watched Team Carnival.
Hell yeah, we did.
I did get a little emotional because it did turn out to be a story about brothers. it also features a very large burp. So, you know,
yeah,
Animus doesn't give with both hands, I guess.
So when you guys had me on last season, I picked Nadira's dream date kind of out of a hat.
Yeah.
You know, I liked the name. I thought it sounded cool, but I didn't really remember it. I remembered this episode.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, this one I went in with eyes wide open. If I had remembered every episode of this season perfectly clearly, I might have picked the tornado spin in retrospect.
Okay.
That might be my favorite episode of the season so far, and it is a travesty that it is not at least in the top three, I will say.
Look.
You are on the wrong side of history with this one.
Well, you know, we are merely the arbiters, Claire. We just put it on the list as we see it.
All right. Yeah. But the this episode, though, I love it so much.
It was very fun. We saw the description, because like when you at the end of the Netflix one, it tells you like, hey, here's what the next episode's about. And when we came back from watching it last time we recorded, Josh is like, did you see the description of the next one? And I'm like, yup. Did you see his brother's name? And I'm like, yup. That's why Claire wants to come on, I bet.
Claire, I did not take you to be a juggalo.
To rip off a joke from Stuart Wellington of The Flop House, I'm ethnically juggalo, but non-practicing. But the reason I came on for this one is because Jindrax and Toxica are my literal children.
Okay.
Like, when I think back about Wild Force, they're, like, the first thing that I think about. They're the thing that stuck with me the most. I don't think they're just, like, some of the best bad guys in Power Rangers history. I think they're just some of the best characters in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Like, when they are on screen, I am happy. More so than, like, many other characters in the history of Power Rangers. So.
Yeah, we've talked about it, like, a bunch of times. Like even, like, the really bad episodes were, like, well, Toxica and Jindrax were good, so like at least we had that little glowing spot.
Yeah, like Jindrax's little I don't know if you call them like 80-yard lines that he just like slips in. His like little tiny jokes are just like the best part of every scene he's in.
They're my favorite. Every time he just like those little like asides where it's like you're not even supposed to be paying attention to it. It's just like him doing his own thing. It's so good.
And then also like beyond the humor, they have a lot of genuine like heart and like pathos as characters. You really do feel for them. So yeah.
I got straight up emotional about Jindrax this episode because of some stuff.
This episode gets a little rough.
Yeah, but like in in like a sing-song way.
rough way. Emotionally, and like it makes you feel sad in a good way.
Yeah.
In an intended way.
Been a while since Power Rangers has made you feel a good kind of sad on purpose.
Yeah. Anyway, before we get too much further... HeyJakeandJosh.com. That's our website. You can go listen to old episodes there. We also got the classic feeds, which are up through Turbo currently, but will be up through In Space eventually, at least on Volume 2. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Sonya Podcasts. We're on Google Play, Podknife, Podbay, Podbaby, Pod Carnival, mostly clown podcasts. Yikes. New advances in the wonderful world of clown mints.
What would a clown podcast even be?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of the best ways to throw pies and how to cram you and 25 of your closest friends into a Miata.
Birthday party reviews.
Yeah.
So it's like an industry insider kind of podcast by clowns for clowns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like all those here's how you grow your podcast, but instead it just be about clowns.
Yeah, it's invite only. A clown has to invite you to listen.
Yes.
What there's you have to use your webcam and there's facial recognition software to see whether you have clown makeup on.
Yeah.
You have to in order to download it. So.
Yeah, and if you don't, then get out of here. We don't want you at the Pog Carnival. We're also on Patreon. If you want to leave us a rating review in those places, that'd be great. Except Pod Carnival. I don't know if they're gonna like us too much. we're not for everybody. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/ Hey Jake and Josh. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the show, get some neat stuff in return. You get Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes, some bonus episodes, early episodes, all that good stuff. And now, this is a Friday episode, but we do have a guest on. So joke's on everybody. We don't need to do any of the extra stuff. We can just jump in. Talk about Pod Carnival. That's not what I meant to say. It's still very early in the morning.
Well, now you can listen to us on Pod Carnival because we're just a couple of clowns.
I'm just a dumb clown, I guess. We start off with Max playing basketball at a farmer's market. Not a place that I would, you know, think you should be doing that, but here he is.
Well, he's just a kid.
Is he?
Yeah, I think very clearly it's established that he, yes, is a kid.
By the end of this episode, at least Taylor is like, you're a child. You're a little child boy.
Yes. We open on the streets of Agrabah and see a couple of street urchins.
Yeah, and one of them steals an apple, just like in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Is this just Aladdin? Is this episode just Aladdin?
Well, I mean, at least this part. I don't know if a genie showed up. I think that might be the crux of Aladdin, is having a big genie show up.
Juggalo might be a genie.
And then gaslighting a princess is the other part of Aladdin that's kind of a big sticking point.
I mean, Taylor in this episode?
Yeah, you know. Maybe this is just Aladdin. Coming soon to Disney Plus, this one episode of Power Rangers Wild Force. Kite, we see Kite steal an apple, and he runs, and some extremely Italian guy is like, he's like a cartoon character. Is like, hey, he stole an apple from me, get back here! And chases Kite down, who hides behind Max, a slightly taller boy, but not not bigger than this man chasing him.
Don't you know stealing from stock characters is wrong?
Yeah, this guy's gotta make a living so he can buy
more apples.
Cannolis? He should just make a cannoli stand instead. So he gives the apple back and he's like, don't steal from me again, and then walks away to go I don't know, hassle a neighborhood kid somewhere else. And Max like, are you hungry? Is that why you stole an apple? It's like, well, yeah, either that or you're stealing for fun and your little friend is a criminal. Which do you want?
Is this the third or fourth time that Kite being hungry has been a plot point?
Every time he shows up, I think they have to ask if he's hungry. It's part of it's in his contract.
Have we seen every meal that Kite has had since he's been introduced to the show?
I'm a little worried that yes, we have. Which include some cold spaghetti, a fudge pop, and now not an apple.
No.
Almost some donuts, almost an apple.
Cold spaghetti and a gross looking sandwich.
Yeah, that cheese pickle tomato sandwich.
I don't even know if it was a pickle.
The cold spaghetti rank on the gross food that has been eaten on Power Rangers list, alongside the ketchup covered banana?
Higher than ketchup banana for sure.
It's right up there around Gak.
I just had an idea. What would you guys feel about a Patreon goal where it's a bonus episode where you guys eat a banana with ketchup on it?
Yeah, for $50,000 a month, I will do that one time.
I bet it's not that bad. I'd come on for it. I'd totally eat a ketchup banana for the patrons.
If the people want it and they are willing to cough up a $750 for each of us... Then we'll talk about it. because I don't know if there is two less complimenting flavors than ketchup and banana.
Now I just want to try it on my own time just to prove you guys wrong.
Let us know.
Is this a one bite or is this a we eat the whole banana covered in ketchup? Because I, those are different money, those are different dollar amounts for me.
Yeah. $750 per bite per of bite. Ketchup banana.
And I take small bites. So.
So we cut from there, from Agrabah, to the lair where Toxica has, like, a maid outfit on.
I think this is her, like, cooking apron.
Okay.
Because she's marinated some computer parts in motor oil.
Sure, delish. Almost as tasty as a ketchup banana, I bet.
Mandalok, that's their name.
Mandalok, yeah.
The pile of computer parts goes above the ketchup banana on the stuff you like to eat list.
You know, one time I drank Night Train, and that was basically like drinking motor oil, and I think I would rather do that again than eat a ketchup banana. So yeah,
let a nice circuit board soak in Night Train for a little bit.
She said only 20 minutes. I don't think that's enough time to marinate anything.
No.
That's true.
So it probably would just mostly taste like computer parts with like some motor oil on it, not like in the flavor of the computer parts. Jindresh comes up with some rusty tailpipes, I think, on a plate.
Yeah, it's just rusty car pipes.
And he's like, I got you this. And Mandalore's like, I only eat fresh food. And it's like, well, hold on. Was the computer just made? Did you steal it from the lab? Get it right over?
Well, I think man-made objects such as computer parts and engines have a different shelf life, whereas they're not bad unless they're rusty or corroded.
Okay.
And then that's the equivalent of being stale?
Yeah. I mean, there is a hole in it from the rust, so maybe that's like... I guess rust is just metal mold, right?
But except there's certain kinds of rust that you're supposed to eat, because that's like cheese.
Sure, yeah. The good rust, that like car fire rust that looks a little tasty. So he's like, get out of here, Jindrax, you're useless. And so Jindrax like throws his apron down in a hallway and is like, oh, maybe I am useless. And he's real bumming. And he's like, you know what I need to do? I need to go find my brother at the gathering of the Juggalos.
Can you guys think of more of like villainous lieutenants who've had more like spotlight episode and like storyline prominence than Jindrax and Toxica? Like not since like Goldar and Rito, maybe? I don't know.
I think I don't.
Ecliptor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Ecliptor. And like specifically like Goldar and Rito, because like in like season one, like before they were like season one and two, before they were like a team, like Goldar was just like a major henchman. Yeah. We didn't follow him around anywhere. Yeah. He was not technically the hero of the episode like Jindrax is.
Yeah.
It's good. It's a really good thing that Wild Force does is like they have these, like, they're the Bulk and Skull. They're not really villains. They're just like the Bulk and Skull of Wild Force.
Man, I mean,
they
are evil,
and they will throw 100 knives at Taylor later, which is sort of villainous, but you get what I'm saying. So he's like, I need to go find my family. So he leaves. We cut to the Animarium, and Cole's like, how did Animus be here? And Shayla's like, I don't know. I also watched him die 3,000 years ago, so I'm all out of ideas.
Alyssa says something here, too, and I cannot remember what it was. It's just more stuff like, why Animus, though?
Danny's like, those Zords were nothing like our Zords, even though they were just palette swaps of their Zords.
Did he actually said that? Like, that's...
Yeah. He's like, they're nothing like our Zords. And I'm like, Danny...
Yeah, a little bit, like...
Danny, my man, one of them's literally just the Lion Zord, but a different color. and Alyssa said something, and I don't really remember, but they are... Oh, no, that's what Alyssa said. She's like, where could Animus be now? And then enter Kite. I wonder. So Kite and Max run in, and they have too much little kid energy, and Taylor's like, what are you doing here? Max, what? You know the rules. He's like, but he's hungry. And then Alyssa's like, oh, I will feed him. My motherly instincts just bloomed forth, and I must feed this child.
We don't see him eat this meal, though, so I guess the answer is no.
one off-screen meal.
This is warm spaghetti.
Yeah.
Plot hole.
Yeah, yeah.
How is this child alive if he's not eating? We don't see it happen.
Yeah, how do we know if he ate if they didn't show it?
Exactly. Put this one up on CinemaSins. So then they, like, we kind of, like, cut to a little later. Or no, we go to Jindrax first, right. I forgot. The Gathering of the Juggalo. Just one. So Jindrax goes to meet his brother Juggalo, a big clown monster, who is literally juggling, like, eight people.
He's just juggling people on the pier.
Just, like, casually.
Are they cool with this? I don't know if we, like, get... Cause,
no, they're not.
Is this him doing villainy to these, like non-consensual juggling of people? Or
yeah,
is this,
I think,
like,
so.
He's villaining at them, because when we cut in, we get, like, civilians doing the Power Rangers trampoline flip over the camera.
Yeah.
And they're, like, going, ah! As they go.
And then Jenner's is like, hey, whoop, whoop, and calls his brother Juggalo over, who just drops these nine people, like... varying heights, they all just crumple to the ground, and they do not get up. So
they do moan a little bit in the background.
Okay, good.
So
they are
alive.
He
did not kill these people.
All right, he just wants to hassle them.
Yeah. What's his goal? Like
juggling. I think he just loves it. He's in it for love of the game.
I think what happened is that these people were all scientists, and they tried to tell him how magnets work, and he didn't believe them,
and so he threw them in the air a lot.
That was my one ICP joke.
You had yours, I had my one. So it's all you from here, Jake. I know nothing else about juggalos.
I've used two of them. I got one more.
Okay.
That's it. He's like, we need to team up. We gotta go. We're gonna strike out on our own. We're gonna be the two of us. We're gonna go kill the Power Rangers or whatever. And Juggalo's like, yeah, we're gonna be Team Carnival. I'll be the juggler and you'll be a clown. And he's like, whoa, hold on. I'm not a clown. I'm not the clown here. Let's restructure this.
So I'm curious, does Juggalo, he's existed this whole time and we've just never talked about him?
He's just been juggling people this whole time.
Well, okay. So he has to have, because all other orgs are like this amorphous spirit that, like, possesses an item and turns into, like, a monster version of that, right?
Yeah.
Except for, like, the generals. What could he possibly have possessed to become Juggalo?
A clown.
A Juggalo?
Well,
an ICP album.
Their Christmas album.
He has two horns, so he's not a duke.
Well, he's Jindrax's younger brother, so.
So, do they have parents?
Sometimes it's best not to worry about these things, because we definitely talked about animus reproducing for way too long.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So I think it's just the other side of that coin. Apparently, there was a plan early on that got just completely wiped when
to
Disney
actually
bought.
Get ICP onto the show.
Yes,
but then Disney was like, hell no.
they were like, Disney will not allow it. No, so originally Tatsuka and Jindrax were going to be revealed to be Cole's parents, but, like, brainwashed.
Oh, wow.
Which is weird, because we definitely see them in, like, human form in the first episode, and then they look nothing like Cole's parents. That's not really, that's just Power Rangers. But then it just kind of fell apart. So, like, the reason they were allowed, like, the Cole's parents were allowed to be, like, literally murdered on screen is because, like, it's going to be, oh, no, it's just a trick. They were just, like, put in cocoons and turned into Toxic and Jindrax.
Right, right, right.
But then that fell by the wayside. So they are the two brutalest murders to ever happen on Power Rangers. And there is no comeuppance, no, like, hey, no, just kidding. It's just like, nope, they died for real.
Well, it's good. It works really well for a backstory. And it's like, it's fine. It's fine for kids to see this. It's, like, not a big deal, you know?
They probably didn't even notice what was... I mean, Cole literally goes to gravestones, but I'm sure kids still were, like, just glossed past it.
Yeah, like, oh, his parents are dead. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think if they do it in a... Power Rangers should just learn. If they do it in a Disney movie, you can do it. You can kill the parents if it's not too graphic, you know, like Mufasa style or whatever. And people, you can get, like, one kiss at the end of the season. Like, you know, it's fine.
No kisses.
Not on Papa, maybe Papa Disney, maybe Walt, maybe Uncle Walt will let him kiss, but I don't.
What are Walt's feelings on kisses?
You know, ambiguous at best, I feel like.
If we could go back in time and rename this podcast, we would name it Just One Kiss.
Just One Kiss.
because that's all Power Rangers has ever been allowed.
Wild. Anyway, so I say that was like originally a plan to illustrate that that was dropped almost immediately because now Jindrak has a younger brother that knows him, and like is around from before.
Okay, I have a thought about Org brothers.
Okay,
so you know how there's like the spirits that like arise from the ether and possess things?
Yeah.
What if you had like the spirit that like splits into two spirits, so they're like fraternal twins?
Okay.
And maybe like Jindrax is attached to something first, and then like Juggalos did a little bit later, but they were like
right. And since Jindrax is at least 3,000 years old because he was around in the fight, that means that there were also Juggalos for Juggalo to possess 3,000 years ago, the ancient and noble race of the Juggalo.
There's
nothing quite as timeless as the insane clown posse.
Look. They're thriving. They're still around and thriving.
That is insane to me.
One of them is like a dad and his kids like goes to furry conventions and he like goes with them in a furry suit that has the same paint as his insane clown posse makeup.
I've seen that.
That's adorable.
Yeah, that who would have thought?
Not me.
That either Shaggy or Violent J, I'm not sure which one it is, would be a great dad.
And yet here we are. Miracles. It's the name of that song. that was a free one. That's not the one I have in the chamber. So anyway, he's like, we're going to be Team Carnival to do a little pose. We're like, hell yeah. We cut back up to the Animarium. Kite and Max are running around like little hellions, and Taylor is like about to strangle a child for real. They run. They're like playing tag, I guess. They like Kite tags Max. He's like, yeah, gotcha. And then Cole, I think, can sense that this is about to break real bad. And
yeah.
Like, all right, Kite, we're having a lot of fun here, but we should probably find your parents because you're a little child. And he's like, I don't know what parents are. And they're like, well, you should go down. What if we go down to like see if anything jogs your memory? Is it Alyssa or Taylor that's like, well, someone should go with him?
Yeah.
It's Alyssa, I think. Because then Max is like, I'll go. And then Taylor's like, oh, someone needs to watch the kids.
You can't have a child babysit another child.
You can't just leave the babies with Angelica.
Yeah. So she ends up going to play mom.
I will say real quick, I do really like Cole's dynamic with Kite. I think they like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they do well together. It's one of the times I like Cole the best, so...
Yeah,
he does great stuff with Kite. We talked about that in the last episode we recorded.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It hasn't aired yet, but that's like literally our best was like, or you know, one of our best was like, Cole and Kite are like a really good dynamic, and it like brings out the best in Cole.
Yeah.
So he's not just like, he also did talk to a pigeon, like grab a pigeon.
Yeah,
and like,
that
have
was
you seen
so
a boy?
Great. That's...
So I love that.
But he doesn't get to go with Kite because it doesn't match the footage.
No. So they go down, and Kite's like, I bet if I go to a carnival, that will make me remember my parents.
And Max is like, yes, absolutely it
yeah.
will.
And so they go to run. Taylor's like, hold on, you can't just like go into a carnival. You need to get tickets. And he's like, cool, you get them. And she's like, why do I have to get the tickets? And Max is like, you're the only adult.
Yeah, he says you're the babysitter. So for the first time, he's admitted he's a baby.
He's the baby.
By the transitive property, he is the baby that needs to be sat.
Yes. So she like cuts in line and gets three tickets, and she's like already like extremely mom frazzled. So I guess everyone in line's like, "Lady, we get it."
Yeah, she does apologize like three times.
Yeah, she's like, "You got kids running around. We get it."
If this was season one, though, I think we'd get a PSA at the end about how you shouldn't cut in lines.
Oh, absolutely. They'd be like, cutting in lines sometimes is necessary, but wait your turn, kids. Power Rangers. They leave to, or she goes to catch up to them, and we cut over to Jindrax and Juggalo popping out from behind, like, a big statue of a cat or something. And they're like, yeah, we need to get in there, but how are we going to sneak around? And then they look over at two mascots, and they're like, perfect.
It's crazy, because they're like, we need disguises. And I was like, oh, they're going to just like
turn into
clowns.
Humans.
Yeah, human
yeah.
clowns
oh, yeah.
and just walk around. But nope.
Nope.
They
a bunny and a skunk?
Or like a panda bear?
Man, I don't even remember. One was black and white. The other was a bunny.
Yeah, I think it was a panda. I'm curious if they did get Insane Clown Posse for this episode, would their disguises be that they transform into Insane Clown Posse?
Absolutely. If you turn Shaggy and Violent J into monsters, you get Ginger Axe and Juggalo.
Yeah, like 100%. Yeah. There's some NWO, like straight up the professional wrestling stable New World Order references in this episode. So, like, I feel like somebody on the, I think Catherine Torpy is either A, secretly a juggalo, or B, really into pro wrestling, and sometimes those go hand in hand. ICP was in the WWF for a while.
For a little while.
It wasn't great, but they were there. There's, like, a ride called, like, the Screaming Mummy, and Kite's like, this is going to remind me of my parents. And Taylor's like, what? And they just get in line and go in.
Yeah, it'll remind him of his screaming mummy.
So that's a little grim. So Taylor gets in. She's like kind of dragged in. And she's like, all right, where are the controls? So Taylor's never been on a roller coaster before.
No. And also, like, kind of a control freak.
Yeah, well, also, roller coasters are scary to be on. Like, I am fully on board with Taylor's reaction during... maybe she's a little worse than I am, but I panic when I'm on roller coasters, and I don't open my mouth for fear my guts will fly out. And if, like, the person I'm sitting next to, like, pulls their hands off, I, like, yell at them. I'm like, get your hands on the board, you're gonna fall out.
Oh, no, yeah. I put my hands up
on you're a nightmare then.
Every time I ride a roller coaster, it's... I don't honestly think that I'm going to die, but thinking about dying is on my mind as I ride it. Right. And, like, I don't want to think about that. And I can't help that that's what I think about. But I'm like, yeah, if this fell off, I'd be dead. That'd be great. This is fun.
I've never been on a roller coaster where I didn't think, oh, this might launch into space today.
Yeah. Like, I never
this
think
could just come loose.
I never think, like, I'm going to die. But I do usually think, I could.
This, if it's going to happen here.
Yeah. I like Splash Mountain for that reason. That
yeah, one. Just nice goes down. That's it. It's a nice wet ride.
Only takes a teaspoon of water.
So she screams.
I left myself open for that one. I'm sorry. It was, the second one of the episode.
We keep a track. Is there a counter a little in the corner? Just ding ding. So we cut to Ginger Axe and Juggalo, and they are now completely dressed in mascot outfits. Perfectly hidden, and they are...
I don't know how Juggalo fits into one, because he doesn't have a traditional head and neck.
No. I think he just, like, stretched it over his head.
It just, like, tightened, it cinched up around the top of it.
So they're like, all right, there's my fated rival, the Yellow Ranger, which, to be fair, every time there's a fight, Ginger Axe and Taylor are always paired up.
That feels like a Sentai thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. I think so. Because, like, he's like, I have knives. And she's like, well, I have a sword. Yeah. So we're obviously, clearly we're rivals. So he's like, time to kill my rival, the Yellow Ranger. And he takes out a knife and throws it at her. And she throws up and dodges it because she is sick from the roller coaster. And then she, like, gets up and she does, like wipe her mouth. Like, oh, I definitely did just puke. And then, but what I love is we come back to Ginger Axe, and he's like, oh man, her reflexes are so good.
Yeah, this episode's about to become some, like, Wile E. Coyote nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
So we cut to, like a little whack-a-mole, but it's that, like, alligator that you push the teeth down, and, like, one of them will make it bite you, but it's those coming out of a whack-a-mole.
Yeah, I've played that exact thing before.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite arcade games when I was a kid.
Yeah, Whack-A-Gator.
Yeah, Gator Smash.
Yeah, and so Max and Kite run over. Taylor is sitting on at a table with like a drink and some Advil or something next to her. Like, I am ill now from the roller coaster.
Well, after she threw up, she went and sat on a bench, and they came up and they were like, "Are you a pilot?"
Oh yeah, she's like, "Yeah, I only like being in the air if I'm in control of what I am on, like of what I'm doing."
So I'm curious. Do you think this is the closest thing we're going to get to another, like, a Taylor spotlight episode? Because I hope not. But
I mean, probably.
We've only got what, 10 left?
Yeah.
So Forever Red's definitely not about Taylor.
Undamn fortunately.
Dude, where's Forever? Okay, we've had so many Power Rangers episodes. There's like almost 1,000. We should just start cranking out the Forever X colors, right? Like,
yeah.
Or just like whatever you need, like, you know, where's Forever Pink, where all the Pink Rangers get together and make the most efficient Power Rangers team of all time.
Forever Green Black.
Forever Green Black. Silver? Well, then there'd be like Forever Sixth, and it's like just whatever. It's like everybody in the pool.
Does Alyssa get to play with the Pink Rangers or not?
Mm. Forever White. It's her and Tommy and Delphine.
Yeah, and there's one of the Rangers from Ninja Steel.
Okay.
So there's a Pink and a White Ranger. So I guess that means they don't have a green?
Maybe they don't have a blue. Like, I think every team has a blue.
Every team has a blue, every team has a red, every team has a yellow, and then the other ones are like, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I think they should just like, come on, Power Rangers, just get them together. Most of these people aren't union. Like, you only really can't get Amy Jo and David Yost. Everybody else...
But you could get Kat, so...
Yeah. She's definitely not doing anything right now. I'll tell you that for free.
She might have a convention that day.
Yeah, right. Oh.
She's definitely not filming The Order, that's for sure.
Definitely not filming The Order.
What's the latest on that?
There isn't any.
Great job, The Order. Anyway, before I... get on to another tangent. So there, Max and Kites are fighting over the Wacky Gator, over, like, I guess who gets to hold the paddle. And Taylor's like, all right, boys, and separates them. And she's like, let me show you how it's done. And so she starts doing the Wacky Gator. And they're like, okay, this sucks. And then they walk away. And then Jindrax is like, all right.
Max looks at Kite and is like, we should ditch her.
Yeah, she's no fun. So then we cut over to Jindrax. She's like, all right, last time didn't go so well. New plan. Gonna throw 900 knives at her. It's gonna be way better than just one. So he starts throwing knives at an incredible, because he throws one and she like dodges by doing her, I guess, Wackigator Mr. Miyagi kung fu. And he's like, all right, fine. And takes out two like fanned out hands full of knives and then just starts whipping them at her. And she dodges all of them. And then she's like, yeah, did it. And then she's like, oh, where'd they go? And then goes to find the boys. And then we just get like a shot of the wall behind her, and there's like 100 knives sticking out of it. And Jindrax is like, she's too good. I don't know if we're gonna be able to beat her.
Yeah, it's a genuinely good like joke and piece of visual comedy. I really, yeah, I feel like the baseline like mundane reality of this season is like the most cartoonish Power Rangers has been in a very long time.
Yeah,
yeah, this is definitely. Like a Three Stooges or a Looney Tunes episode of Power Rangers.
Yeah. Then we cut to the boys having escaped their babysitter, are like, let's go on this other roller coaster that this maybe this time she won't throw up all over the place because she won't be on it.
This was Pharaoh's Fury, which is the big boat swing.
Oh, it's a boat swing. Yeah. Okay.
It's exactly the same one that travels with the carnival that goes to Athol, Massachusetts during River Rat.
Oh.
Is this all ancient Egypt themed, these rides?
I guess.
They have crocodiles in Egypt, right?
So...
Yeah, sure.
Yes, I mean Sobek, one of their gods is a crocodile headed man. I guess the theme is on point. What a weird theme for a carnival. Most of the carnivals I go to, the theme were like, eat until you throw up. Here's some nasty sausages. Would you like these?
All the rides spin.
Everything spins. There's one little roller coaster, and then there's the big slide where you get on the burlap sack and
you
go down.
That's the best ride.
It's a good ride.
Everybody loves the burlap slide.
Everybody do the burlap slide. I don't know what it is.
Little dogs love it. Have you ever seen that video?
That video of just Yorkie just running up the stairs over and over again, sliding down. It's so good. So the boys go to get on the Pharaoh swing, and Juggalo steps in front of them. Or steps it, like between them, so Kite gets on and Max doesn't, and then 100 nutties show up on the other end of the swing. So it's like a little boy and a bunch of these gross gray demon men. I don't really remember. They're still in their suits, right? They're still in the mascot outfits.
Yes. Yeah. Well, around here is where they take them off. They do the thing where they awkwardly try to take them off and like fail, and then they kind of fall over and fall out of it. It's about this time.
Okay, yeah, I know there's like a big slapstick where they're like, here we go, and he can't get his helmet off or his the mascot head off because his head is huge in there.
Yeah, it's like Juggalo is trying to get Jindrax's off, and that doesn't work. So Jindrax is like, oh, let me get yours. And Juggalo's like, oh, yes, thank you very much. And then that doesn't work. And like, I don't know, they both pull each other's heads so hard that they fall down and the whole costume comes off.
Yeah, it just explodes off of them. Taylor comes up behind Max at around this point, and Max is like, they got a kite.
I would have liked just a little more tension of Taylor in the carnival, being like, hey, have you seen two babies running around here?
Yeah, like there really isn't functionally any reason to separate them other than to have her get knives thrown at her without worrying about these two children right next to her. So I think that works, but I also think there would like just a scene of like, hey, there's like two little kids running around, and like, oh, I don't know, and they're like, that's it.
One of them's a blue Power Ranger, says it on his vest.
He's got zip-off pants because he's 12.
or 17.
I forget exactly what happens, but at some point, they start throwing knives at Taylor and Max.
Yeah, they morph and just like start a fight, and they just get caught in this weird knife-juggling attack.
At some point, and maybe it's a little bit later, Juggalo is throwing these things that I can only assume are Faygo bottles with spikes on them at Taylor or the bowling and Max. Pins. Maybe they're bowling pins, but like it's just 1 second of him just like, gotcha. Like, that's it.
What a Juggalo.
You're never going to beat Team Carnival. And so Taylor and Max are like, we need to have our own team. And I'm like, oh, you mean like the Power Rangers? You are wearing matching outfits.
No, but
so.
they mean like they need their own like team crop top inside of the Power Rangers team.
So they're like, we'll be the Soaring Shark. And she's like, I like the Surging Eagle. And I'm like, I don't think I like either of those names, but.
And so they do both individually as a team.
Yeah. You know, like a team. So they end up, you know, beating Juggalo and Jindrax back. They and Jindrax is like, now for our secret weapon.
They swap weapons. That's the team up that the Power Rangers do.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked a lot. Max fights with the sword, and then Taylor fights with little shark blades.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does like a jump and fly thing, and like I think those make a lot more sense for an attack like that.
Yeah.
So that makes some sense. So they end up beating them back, and Jindrax is like, now it's time for our secret weapon. Run away! And then they turn around and run back towards the Pharaoh thing. The Rangers, like, chase them. And they're like, alright, hold on. If you take one more step, we will kill this child in this carnival. We'll just straight murder him. And they're like, alright, fine. So they throw their weapons down. And Juggalo literally says, like, too sweet. Like, this is the year 2002. WCW folded a year and a half ago from when this episode aired.
Yeah.
I don't know what Catherine Torpy is holding on to for the NWO. Maybe they came back in WWF by now, but I don't think so.
I don't think so. If they did, it wasn't with the Insane Clown Posse.
Well, you know, look, there's a lot going on.
The only the Insane Clown Posse was... Posity?
Posity?
Posity. What? Yeah. The Insane...
It's Posity that the Insane Clown Posse were here.
Well, I combined it with Oddities because that's the group that they were in the WWF.
So what's this too sweet thing? Can you explain this reference to me?
It's just like one of the things that the NWO used to say because they were like all cool guys. They're like, oh, too sweet.
Yeah,
and they would throw these
little wolfy with your hands and you make them kiss.
Wolf hand, and you just make them kiss. Too sweet. And that's too sweeting someone. And then NWO used to do that all the time. It was little finger wolf kissies. And because they were bad guys.
Yeah, that sounds very bad.
Pro wrestling is serious.
Well, it would always be like, we caved your head in with a lead pipe. Too sweet.
Like we just threw Rey Mysterio against a trailer and killed him. Too sweet. Like, it's just this weird little thing. And now there's like this whole, like a bunch of indie wrestlers started doing it a couple years ago. And then there was like a lawsuit about it, sort of. It's very weird. Pro wrestling is wild.
You can copyright an apple and you can copyright wolf kisses.
You know? Yeah, somehow. So that's... One NW, and at first I was like, oh, okay, maybe he's just saying, like, that's too sweet. But later on, there's literally an NWO for life. They just say Team Carnival for life, which is another NWO catchphrase. Not the Team Carnival part. That would be buck wild. So the Power Rangers throw their weapons down. And they're like, cool. Now we're going to kill the kid anyway because we're villains. And then the other Rangers show up, and they have new cool weapons. that are definitely American and not in the Sentai even a little bit.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought about that. What, you think that's the case, or?
I think so, because we don't see them. The thing that makes me think, like, for sure, is the when they put them all together, it definitely looks like it's all American footage.
Oh, yeah, it's not like the animations and stuff, or?
Yeah, it's, like, very clear, and it's like it's shot differently from how, like, it's shot like the same way, like them trying to do their own, but like just not, they don't have at this point like 25 years of putting weapons together footage.
Interesting.
To like draw from.
But
it definitely looks like
that.
Hey, we got new toys coming out, so here they are on TV.
Please buy them. I don't remember what all of them are, but I do know that Taylor just gets the armadillo puck.
It's so bad.
And it's literally just like the chamber of the Gatling gun that comes together.
Yeah, so let's see. Cole gets a falcon something.
It's like it's like his lion gauntlet, but if it had wings too.
Uh-huh.
Makes it more aerodynamic.
Yeah. Danny gets a rhino blaster. What was Alyssa's thing? It must have been some elephant thing, right? Or no, it was a deer thing, right?
Deer claw. And then they're like, hey, we got new weapons for you too. Here you go, Max. The sword of Pardolis. And I'm like, excuse me. It's absolutely a spear. There was a whole thing about it.
He also had a little sword as a side weapon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
His slightly less well-known famous weapon.
Is
the sword also the sword of Pardolis?
They made up a whole Pardolis, right? Like, that's not a real thing.
I think Pardolis was the name of the guardian, like the former blue guardian.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that him
Ranger.
And Merrick got names.
Yeah, and that's the only two.
But I want to say real quick, like, so the only thing I'm upset about is I want Taylor to get some bear weapons.
I wanted her to have like two giant bear like gauntlets were enormous.
Literal just bear claws.
Yeah. But I realized that this is the Isis Megazord in weapon form. And so I was like, well, I guess her animal in the Isis Megazord is the armadillo. And so Danny's like, here you go. Here's a little hockey puck, champ.
Yeah, well,
it's like
the reason I think it's the equivalent is because her eagle just becomes the belt buckle on the on the bison, so I guess she becomes a lower body accessory of some kind, either a belt buckle or a foot.
She goes from being the wings and head to like a belt or just one shoe, not both of them.
I
actually think it would be cool if she got like nunchucks, like a black and a white nunchuck.
That would be dope.
They're like Panthro's nunchucks. In Thundercats, they have like little heads on the end of them, and like I think one of his even like shoots like fire and one shoots ice, or like they have like different gadgets in them. So that'd be cool. So
that would be radical.
Bear chucks.
Instead, they're like, here's a hockey puck. By the way, you will not use this individually because we're gonna put the weapons together right now. So just hold this for a second.
Give it back to us. It's yours though.
All you can do with it is like curl it at somebody,
right? Like you just like roll it at someone to distract them so then they can get shot by the rhino blaster,
or they slip on it like you threw marbles,
or just hold it with two hands and whack someone over the head with it.
Just brain them. So they put them together and they murder Juggalo. And I say murder because he has a family. It's not like killing an org. This is Jindrax's little brother, Juggalo. So they kill him, and Jindrax is, like, very upset, and he just produces Toxica's magic wand from nowhere that he just, like, took, I guess. And he's like, I don't want to have to do this, but... And then he does the little spell, and he grows Juggalo. So Juggalo
Jindrax spills his seed on the ground.
Yeah, he just drops his speed all over... Speed? Seed? I tried to follow you with the joke, and I messed it up, because it's still very early in the morning.
It's fine. Pulls an Onan.
Yeah. So then he grows. They call the Wild Zords. Not the Isis Megazord.
The OG Megazord.
The original one, even though they just showed up with Isis Megazord in weapon form.
Yeah, they used that one for weapons, so they had to use a different Megazord. I know that doesn't track with anything else that's ever happened in the history of the show.
Right. They basically just beat Juggalo up. I think he throws some bowling pins or something at them, but the fight is not terribly long before he just starts getting beat up, and Toxica like storms up and is like, "That's where my staff went. What are you doing with it?" And he's like, "Oh, you can have it back. I got what I need." And he has a bunch of beans in his hand. He's like, "I'm going to eat these and I'm going to go help my brother." And I'm like, "Oh, Jindrax." I'm legitimately touched by this.
So wait, if Jindrax is my child, does that mean that Juggalo also has to be my child?
Yes. Yeah. He can be your stepson.
Okay. My stepson who's really into ICP.
Yeah, who just loves that hatchet man.
Probably has a tattoo and everything.
Yeah, probably. Toxica like freaks out when he's like, "I'm going to eat these beans and I'm going to grow big to help my brother." Because she's like, "No, if you eat them, that's it. Like, you don't come back." And this is the first time we get, like, confirmation that, like, making a monster grow is literally like, well, that's it for them.
Yeah, it's one way.
In the past, I know we've seen monsters shrink, but, like, it's not common.
Yeah, it's generally, like, the lieutenants and people who can, like, grow at will and shrink at will. But then, like, most of the one-off monsters, it's a one-way trip.
I feel like
there was
the Minotaur episode definitely was all over the place with him being big and not big.
Yeah, that seemed like it was edited out of order.
Yeah,
that episode was not the best. But earlier this season, even they had the Tombstone Org, who's made of six people. Oh, that was in Sing Song. How could I forget? 440/22 Sing Song. It's gonna be in my head until I die. He grew and then didn't. He never shrunk again. So like. They're like, "That's it. You're big now. Congratulations. This is how you're. If you beat the Power Rangers, you're just tall forever."
Well, then you just destroy the Earth like they want.
Jindrax eats the beans and he grows because they're Team Carnival for life.
All right, if I keep my dumb joke going, Jindrax swallows Toxica's seed.
Right down the hatch. I can't.
I know I'm pushing the limits of this podcast for children, about this show for children.
That's okay. We've said Juggalo like 50 times this episode.
But it's a very horned season, so
it is for sure. I'm just trying to make a spit swallow joke, and I don't think I can without having to bleep the entire sentence. Yeah. So anyway, he's Team Carnival for life. They grow, they start beating up the Power Rangers, and then Merrick shows up and makes the save, and like, "Oh yeah, Merrick, now we can finally kill him."
Merrick's Zords show up and just like stand adjacently, and they're
they
like, "Yes!"
Like a boomerang or something.
Just like the last episode I was on. It's like that one was also Eric. This one is also Merrick is here. It's like
the Barbaric Brothers.
Yeah.
Then they kill in cold blood Jindrax's baby brother, and he dies in front of his brother.
You know what? Jindrax and Juggalo have never killed anyone that we know of. The Power Rangers have killed Jindrax's actual flesh and blood brother from the same parents who gave birth to him. So who's the real bad guys?
The Power Rangers for sure in this episode. He's like, "All right, I'm going to die next probably, but I have to avenge my brother because I'm so mad." And so he starts running at the Power Rangers, knowing that, like, it's two Zords against one. He's probably not going to survive this. And then this big emotional moment is stopped dead in its tracks by a big nasty burp.
At least he didn't fart it out.
You know?
So when I thought about this episode, I remembered him farting it. That was how it stuck in my memory. Maybe because it's beans? You allowed to fart in a Y7 show? Is that
Bulk and Skull farted all the time, I feel like. Part of their walking sound effect, I think, was farting.
Just little fart noises? I mean, there was a whole episode in Turbo about the monster named Big Burpa.
Mm.
The bike episode, if I am... again, I'm going to forget the faces of my loved ones before I forget some of these dumb Power Rangers things.
Do you maybe get one fart? It's like one F-bomb in a PG-13. You get your, like, you know, and writers of kid shows talk about, "Oh, have you used your one F-bomb this episode?"
Do you use your one? Speaking of regular F-bombs, Jojo Rabbit has the best single F-bomb in a movie ever seen.
I've seen that movie in theaters twice, so yes.
Oh, I saw it. I've only seen it once, but oh my god, it was so good.
It was very good. Well spent.
For sure. Jojo Rabbit, hashtag non-spawn, go see it. So he shrinks, and the Ranger's like, yeah, we won! We destroyed a family!
Woo! We've done irreparable mental damage to Jindrax!
Now he's gonna be traumatized! So we cut to, it goes to commercial, we come back, and there we're sitting on Jindrax, who's just like sitting down on a curb somewhere, just like, well, my brother's dead now, so that's what I'm living with. And then Toxica comes up, and she's like, I don't want to say she tries to like cheer him up, but she tries to like
just be there,
know,
for him.
Like help him, like yeah. Be there for him. And it's very sweet. He's like, yeah, I guess I am useless. I can't do anything. My brother's dead now. I'm the worst. I don't know why anybody would hang around. She's like, you're not useless. Like, I think it was extremely brave to like do that. And like, you went to help your brother. That's like a good thing to do. And then I don't remember. I was getting a little teary at this point, so I don't really remember the rest of it until they're like, hey, we're best friends.
She says, I'm proud of you. And then he's like, well, I'm going to fight then.
That's it. That
yeah,
must
he,
have been
at one
it.
Point, he says something like, I have my best friend to help me or something like that. Yeah.
So it's going to really suck when Toxica gets killed in front of him, too, probably.
Gosh, I hope not. They better not. I want them to just, however the season ends, I just want them to like turn into regular people. Like, I want like some leftover yuppie wave, and like they can turn into regular people and they just like go live their lives somewhere because they deserve it. So then they like link arms and skip off. It's very cute. It's a very nice moment.
And it's a good callback, I guess, to when Toxica was bumming on a swing set and Jindrax was like, well,
yeah,
I can't do anything to cheer you up, but I'm also not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, so I'll just be here when you need me. These two are good. These two are really good.
Yep. Heart of the season, I think.
Oh, for sure. So we cut over to the Rangers. They're unmorphed and they're just talking to Kite. And it was like, oh god, I hated babysitting the two of you. And they're like, I'm sure you had fun. And she doesn't answer.
She says something like, I hated babysitting you two children. And Max is like, I'm not a kid. And then Kite is like, yeah, he's an adult. It was like playing with two grandparents.
Got him.
Then he hops on his skateboard. Slams a Go-Gurt. Peace
out. He noshes down some Go-Gurt, litters, and skateboards away.
But then they start chasing after Kite, and Taylor says, Grandma's gonna get you. So it's just very cute.
Yeah. But then, much like he always does, Merrick comes in to ruin the fun.
I'm assuming
haven't you
he
done
was,
enough this episode,
I'm assuming
Merrick?
He was there the whole time, but...
You had one line. That's enough. That's all you get.
All of a sudden, it just smash cuts to this, like, low-angle shot of him with his arms crossed, just, like, looking somewhere.
Kite's like, well, you're Merrick. And he's like, yes, and this is the first time we're meeting. And I was like, well, that's how a human would say that. And he's like, yeah, but I feel like I know you from long, long ago. And then the episode just ends.
The episode fades out on Merrick, like, standing up, back up, and crossing his arms. But he cannot even cross his arms in a convincing way.
Nope. It's that jacket. It's zipped so tight. He has no range of movement. Take your dumb jacket off. But that is the end of the episode. And Claire, since you are the guest... What's the best?
Oh, I didn't even think about this until now. Give me a sec. Oh, wow. I think it's Jindrax eating the beans. That was the part that stuck with me when I thought about this episode. That was why I picked that one, because I remembered that scene. And yeah, I think it's one of the most like emotional bits in this whole season so far. So
yeah, I agree. I think that's also my best, is him just being like, well, like he knows the consequences, because yeah. He's like, no, I got what I need, so. See you later, Toxica. Josh, what about you?
I think it's Toxica's pep talk at the yeah. Toward the end.
Yeah. Also very good. Claire, what's the worst?
Wait, did you give a best?
Yeah, mine's the same
also
as Claire's.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
What's the worst? I don't know. I kind of want to say Kite, but I don't mind him that much. I remembered hating him, like, for when I first watched this and I was 13 or whatever, like, how whenever it came out, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, He's fine. He's like, I don't like him as a plot device, but like, I think as a character, he's like charming enough.
Yeah.
And I, we don't get as much. It's not like as kite centric as some other ones. I don't know. What are you guys feeling? I'm still kind of undecided.
My worst is how the Power Rangers murder Ginger X's brother in front of him and then celebrate.
Mine is the burp because it breaks up the dramatic tension of everything that's going on around it. And I feel like they could have just shrunk him back down by having him be hit too hard by the Megazord.
Without like a drive time radio sound effect coming out of
him. Or like he ate the beans. And so it's on like a shorter timer than if he was killed and resurrected by the beans.
Yeah.
Anything but a big burp.
Okay, I got it. Taylor being given the armadillo puck instead of an actual good weapon.
That is also pretty terrible. Hey,
you're the most effective ranger here. Here's a f***ing hockey puck.
Here's a big circle. Enjoy. Claire, who's the MVP?
Jindrax.
Yeah.
Yep.
These are facts. I wish I had something else to say, but, you know.
No, so sometimes, you know, you get it in one. This, like, what else can you say?
Sometimes
this episode is about him.
Sometimes it's very obvious.
Now we have to do a thing we constantly forget to do when we have guests on, which is rank the episode.
I think this one goes down toward the bottom.
Yeah, I think like third from the bottom.
You assholes. How dare you?
No.
This was
while I'm
good,
here, we're also re-ranking the tornado spin. This isn't going to stay.
No, unfortunately, once it's on the list, it is set in stone. We can't.
That's it. This is an uneditable
document. You know what?
Y'all
said you're going to say wild time, but I'm changing all sorts of things. So.
Well, you got one out of us. You're going to. Look, tornado spin is like.
The dead center of the list.
Is the dead center, I think. So
okay,
that's pretty
good. Out of everything you could say about the tornado spin, it is not like an average episode. It is either very good or very bad. I would accept
that. Here's the thing, is there's very good things and very bad things, and they even out to be the dead center of the list.
No.
So I think I'm thinking top half at least for this one.
Yeah. So we're saying this is better than the tornado spin.
I think it's better than tornado spin.
See, now I'm just at a loss. It's just, this list is just noise. There's no rhyme or reason to it. So like, I can't even partake in this conversation.
No, well, I mean, that's the trick of this podcast is we found the two dumbest people we could to do it. And it's us.
Turns out it was us. So, hey, what was Power Play? What was that episode?
That was the episode where Toxica turned into Necronomica.
Oh, I don't know if this is better than that.
That one also had, I think that had the Jindrax pep talk. No, I think that was the, that might have been the episode before Power Play. It had the Jindrax pep talk.
I'm gonna look up a synopsis.
Yeah, I do not remember. Do I still have it pulled up? I have apples pulled up. Probably not the.
We're not ranking apples this time.
No, it's a Honeycrisp, and then like who cares?
Yeah, then,
what else?
Whatever other apples.
The rest of them.
Oh, that one also had the karaoke org.
Oh yes, it had laser discs that we just thought were big CDs. But then it was like, they're videos. And we're like, what are you? What is going on? Above that is Soul Searching. Is that the one where they got the gorilla?
I think Soul Searching, that's when Cole squares off with Master Org in the forest, right? Or is that Soul Bird Salvation?
I can't remember. They were like back to back.
Soul Searching, synopsis, Wild Force.
Because I think Cole and Master Org fought in the first one of those two episodes.
It looks like Cole searches for the soul bird to heal the red lion. He's stopped by Master Org. Master Org finds the family picture. They have the fight, blah blah blah. Yeah. That's the one with the gorilla.
What is Soul Bird Salvation? Because
that's
the
one. That's probably
high.
The first one where the Soul Bird actually shows up, because they just find the egg at the end of Soul Searching.
Right, and then in Soul Bird Salvation, the expansion pack flies in and is like, "Hey, I'm the same bird that you saw before."
Oh no, Soul Bird Salvation is the one with Retinax. That's why its list is so high. It's because Retinax ruled.
Yeah, and that one has the Freezer Org.
Yeah, and then at the end where he's like, "You're not Master Org," and then Master Org stone cold murders Retinax like in a pile of rubble. Okay, that's what. Right.
What about Wishes on the Water? I remember that. Is this better than Max or Danny making a bottled wish?
No, it was Max that made the wish in the bottle. I like this one better, I think.
I think so.
I think the monster was cooler in that one because it was just a big pirate ship, but I think this episode overall was better. I don't know if it's better than Predazord Awaken. That had a lot of cool stuff in it.
I'm sure it did.
It was mostly like good fights with right. And then he stole a Zord.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it tops that.
Yeah, I think between those two coming in at number 7, Team Carnival.
This list is just nonsense. I don't even know where to begin with you guys.
We are merely the arbiters. The statue is already in the marble. Uh-huh. We just chip away at it.
Well, you accidentally chopped off one of its hands when you put Tornado Spin in the middle.
They don't need two hands. He's already got one. David didn't have any arms.
Sure.
Some statues don't even get entire arms. Anyway, final thoughts?
It's good. I like it. Power Rangers. I like Wild Force, for the record, a lot. We were talking earlier about, like, you know, I'm in the last time I was on, we had the conversation about seasons that are just good and then seasons that you work for, but if you work for, they're really good. I think that Wild Force is definitely the latter. It's one that, like, but like all of the pieces are really great. Like the mythology is great. Like the kind of outlines of the characters are really strong. So this would be one like similar to the first season that I'd want to like run an RPG in this setting or like write comic books about this setting, like that kind of thing.
I don't think I've thought about like the Power Rangers, like, contained mythology like just in the season as much as I had since I think Mighty Morphin.
Yeah,
about like how cool everything is and like the idea that there are just like 100 Wild Zords hidden all over the world, like that they don't get into as much, like,
yeah,
all that stuff is very cool.
There's a lot of really good mythos and lore to this season that I don't think it's gonna live up to that potential, but it's all there.
Yeah, I mean, also like there's only like 4 good actors on the show.
You're not wrong. Although I like Master Org a lot more than you guys. I find him so charming.
He's so awful.
I just don't think he's like, I don't think he's bad. When he's regular person, when he's like Dr. Steven Adler.
I like the idea that some dork got. Oh, sorry, I swore. That this dork just like. He became Master Org and he's very non-threatening, but I don't know, like all of, even like, I even like Danny and Max more than you. And I like Shayla and Merrick a bit more than you. I think they're terrible, but I enjoy their presence in like a good, bad sort of way. You know?
Okay. I hate them.
I want to like them, but they don't have any chemistry with each other and they're only ever paired off.
Yeah.
And I think that's my big problem.
I don't mind Max now as much as I used to. Danny still is just a big dumb nothing.
Yeah.
For me, the only bad part of them is Never Give Up, which they do way too much. But apart from that, I enjoy that Wild Force is a bunch of dummies.
Yeah.
A bunch of dummies and Taylor. Taylor. Alyssa. Alyssa's not a dummy. She's in college.
She's top of her class, okay? She's got a 4.0. She got an award for it. She also teaches a dance class at college. That one's a little less clear. But Claire, thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah, it was a blast. I always love talking with you guys, and I like Wild Force, and this was fun.
Yeah, this is a good time. Where can people find you and your stuff online?
If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Claire Mulcairn. I have a podcast called Smash Fiction. At the time we're recording this, our most recent episode, we actually just had Shannon Maynor as a guest.
Nice.
Yeah, she was
heard
on
of her.
One of the episode structures we do is one called Collaboratory, where we basically improvise writing an outline for a movie over the course of like an hour. And so she was on for that. Nice. And it was far less research than the thing that Jake was on for that I told Jake he maybe didn't want to do, and he did anyway. And it was a lot of research.
Yeah, I did a lot of work. I had to write a paper.
Yeah. And if you also want to follow other stuff that I do, I'm a writer for Looper, so you can go to looper.com and read things that I write there. I just wrote stuff, something about She-Ra, I wrote some stuff about Futurama, about The Shining, all sorts of think pieces, and I'm nice. Probably gonna pitch something about Power Rangers soon. We'll see if they take it. So,
well, fingers crossed for you.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, I don't know what the next episode is.
See it this time. I was too eager to jump back into Pokemon for a few minutes.
Okay, next episode is called Taming of the Zords. So that's a weird Shakespeare reference that the Power Rangers are making.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. I wonder if it's going to be as problematic.
I hope not.
Are we going to get a Shrewzord?
You know?
Oh, dude.
Just a tiny little...
Here you go, Taylor. Have another tiny useless
sword.
Here, hold this.
You can get a bouncy ball weapon with this one.
So we will figure out what this episode is going to be about on Monday. But until then,
may the power protect you. It's like when you get into a sleeping bag when you're camping, but it's wet. That's how
Wild
uncomfortable
Access
that
is
made
a
me
wet
feel.
Sleeping bag. All right,
those of you who are playing the Morphin Grid drinking game at home, they just use the word wet. So,
hey, Josh.
Someone sent us the rules for that game.
oh yes, please, Josh. I have a question, real quick. Mm-hmm. You do a lot of wet sleeping bags.